Did you announce about Gopal Krishna Maharaj? I think so, yeah. Well, he just... Well, particularly, we just got news that Gopal Krishna's health today has seriously deteriorated. We need his prayers for our spiritual upliftment. And we can pray to Krishna, if he so wishes, to keep Gopal Krishna Maharaj with us as Krishna desires. Just like Srila Prabhupada, in 1977, devotees were praying to Krishna, if you so desire, please keep Srila Prabhupada with us. Ultimately, it was Krishna's desire that Srila Prabhupada not stay longer. So everything is in Krishna's hands. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Do we need translation into... Already arranged. Hindi Anuvad. Already... Hare Krishna. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrestham Manumapi Shachiputram Atrasvarupam Rupam Tasyagujam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam, Savadhutam, Parijana, Sahitam, Krishna, Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha, Krishna Padan, Sahagana, Lalita, Sri Vishakhan, Vitamscha, Guru Vaishnav, Bhagavan, Tine Smarane Hoi, Bigna Vinashan, Anaya Ashri Hoi, Nijavan Chita Puran, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I've been giving a series of talks on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama over the last, how many years? More than 10 years? Any idea? When did I start? At least 10 years. So it's quite suitable that I'm speaking on Vishnu Sahasranama in the presence of Sri Ranga Prabhu, because Sri Rangam is one of those places where Vishnu Sahasranama is still widely chanted. Where are you from? From? Chennai. And cultural background, Tengalai, Vadagalai, Smarta, Ayas, Smarta. So quite suitable. And also among the Ayas, Vishnu Sahasranama is commonly chanted. It used to be chanted very widely all over India. We know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu we find in his Adi Leela, once he came to the house of Srivas Pandit and told him to chant Vishnu Sahasranama, which gives the idea that it was expected that everyone would know, at least those of Brahmin caste would know. Because Srivas Pandit means he's from Brahmin background. But he didn't get very far, because after a few names comes the name, if you begin Vishnu Sahasranam, after a few names comes the names Narasingha Vapu. And hearing that name, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became absorbed in the feelings of Narasimhadev and ran out in the street in the mood of Narasimha. So we don't want anyone imitating that, but we can take pleasure in hearing these names. Anyone who takes pleasure in hearing the glories of the Supreme Lord enunciated in Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Vishnu Sahasranam, they must be advanced spiritualists. Especially in this Vishnu Sahasranama, if we're going to talk about this, there's only glorification of Vishnu. There's nothing else. It may come tangentially, some social or philosophical issues, but basically it's just glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. 13 years ago I started. 2011. It's now on name 987. Some of the talks I do in more than one session. I think one name, which was that Tirtha Pavana, I did in more than 50 talks on that name, on one name. But some of them I give 2-3 names in one talk. So we're looking at two names this evening. Name 987 is Vaikarna. Does anyone know what Vaikarna means? Not a very common name. Just coming up after two names is Devaki Nandana. You all know what it means. But Vaikarna is not a very well-known word. I was saying, were you Tengalai or Varigalai? But there's another division in Sri Vaishnavas, Vaikarnasa. I'll get to that. So what does Vaikarna mean? It gives, the idea comes from the Sanskrit kana. Now if we say kana in modern Hindi, you think of eating something. But that's not from Sanskrit. That's not derived from Sanskrit. Kana in, so you might think of some Punjabi name also. But the kana in Sanskrit gives the sense of digging. Dig holes in the ground. Nowadays done mostly by JCB and similar companies, machines. And vi is an intensifier. There are so many words. Shuddha, Vishuddha, for instance. Shuddha, you know, means pure. Vishuddha means very pure. So, Bhagavan, apart from creating the world, maintaining the world, destroying the world, living beyond the world, he also acts within the world. And one of the things that he does within this world is that he digs. You may be wondering, which Leela? Digging Leela. Varaha is one of the interpretations, because there are different commentators the first commentator in this Kali Yuga, at least first well-known commentator, is Shankaracharya. And the next one is Parashara Bhatta of Srirangam. His descendants are still there, carrying on the same duty that he did. He was the Lord's astrologer. So he comes every day in front of the Lord and tells him all the different times of day and what he can expect and all this kind of thing. So Parashara Bhatta takes the meaning to be that he digs. When you dig, they're digging for different reasons. In this country, when you dig, it's usually to make some foundations for a building. It can be for, maybe there'll be some more digging now for a drainage system, or for putting in electric lines, or gas lines, or oil pipes. There are various reasons you can dig. There's also digging in gardening. And one of the reasons you dig in, you can dig to dig the potatoes out of the ground. I don't know if you ever saw, you're all city people, huh? Did you ever see potatoes dug out of the ground? So that's one reason for digging. And another reason for digging is to uproot unwanted plants. So Parashara Bhatta takes the meaning to mean he uproots. He digs deep down into the hearts of his devotees and digs out, takes out the bad things, and particularly Parashara Bhatta means that he uproots the sorrows of the world, and particularly the sorrow, the pain of repeated birth and death. He completely uproots it. Now you know, if you read the Nectar of Devotion, there are different levels of papa. And in Bhagavatam, in 6th canto, there's discussion, at the beginning of the 6th canto, there's discussion of how to get free from the effects of papa, sin. How can we get free from the effects? Because at the end of the 5th canto is a description of the hellish worlds and the terrible punishments that people have to undergo for sinful activities. And everyone in this world commits some sinful activity, either deliberately or even not even trying to. Just by walking on the road, if we kill some ant, that is also violence, even not desired by us. It's not as bad as deliberately stamping out and killing ants. But there's also some sinful reaction has to be incurred. So Parikshit Maharaj asked then, well, how can people get free from these sorrows? And there are different ideas by prayaschitta. You have to do some atonement. But Parikshit Maharaj wasn't very happy with that reply because he said that, well, we see that someone does some sin and then he's punished. Just like a thief, he may be caught and punished, but again he will steal. So his sinning didn't stop and his suffering doesn't stop. And then by coming to the platform of Gyan, but Parikshit said, yeah, but people even know it's Janbuj Karke. Look, they do sins, even they know it's wrong. Even they know something is wrong and still they do wrong. So that won't stop sin either. And then what's the correct answer? Famous verse in the beginning of the 6th chapter, 6th canto of Bhagavatam. No, Ajamil comes later. And then Ajamil comes to say that by chanting of the holy names you can get free. Kechit, thank you very much. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana aghangdunvanti kachnena niharam iva bhaskaraha. Kechit means not, we can't expect very many to do this, but if anyone develops pure devotion to Krishna, then all the sins are destroyed. They're dispersed, just like early morning fog you have here in December. Is it December, January? Early morning, there's thick fog. And then the sun rises, fog is finished. So that example is given. By pure devotion to Krishna, in the fog, you can't see, but it's dispersed by the rising of the sun. So similarly, by Krishna consciousness, at the beginning of Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that's also given, that by pure devotion, the very seed of sin is destroyed. The seed of sin is the desire to act separately from Krishna's desire. So this is a very big topic, but the basic idea is, what's going on over here? Everyone's looking over here. Stop displaying this here, because they're supposed to be listening. You know, the mind is half here and half here, half there and half here. It means there's no attention anywhere. So the idea here is given that he uproots the miseries of the world. Now, we just had two names prior to this, which were Atmayoni and Swayamjata, both names of which, both of which give the idea that he is born by himself, by his own desire. You are born, I was born, in different places, with different bodies, with different karma fall, due to our previous actions. But he appears by his own desire, by his own volition, by his own energy, by his own mercy. He takes birth so that we don't have to take birth again. So this is the idea, that he comes into this world particularly paritranaya sadhu nam, for uplifting the sadhus. So the complete paritran, uplifting, means to completely, just like uprooting. Maybe, does anyone have any experience of gardening? Not so likely if you grew up in Dubai or in Chennai. Does anyone have any experience of gardening? Yeah. So there are some weeds, they are made by Bhagawan to drive gardeners crazy. Because their roots, it may be a little plant, but underneath the roots, very huge root system, and very, very difficult to completely destroy. If you try to dig it out, the root will break in one place, but it's spread out everywhere. And if there's a little bit left, it'll all grow again. And it will, from inside the soil, it will destroy or hamper the growth of the plants that you're trying to grow, like flowers or vegetables. So very, very difficult the only way is to uproot it. You can put poison, but that poisons the whole soil. So the only way is to uproot it, but it's very, very difficult to do, because the roots are spread everywhere, inside, outside, and if you just cut it,
You may think, now I got so much out, but still a little bit is there and it'll all grow again. So in the same way, we have a big network in our hearts of deeply rooted sinful desires. It's very, very difficult to remove it. A gardener, he can remove, you have to dig, and there's no end to it. You think you've got it, and then you find there's a little bit more here. You just see a little root is going here, and you dig a little more, and you find there's a whole big scissor, this huge big scissor. You have to dig up the whole garden, practically, to get it out. So very, very difficult to do. Once they get in, this kind of weed, very, very difficult to get it out. So in the same thing, simply by being pious, being good, being nice, or by being a tapasvi, being a jnani, it won't work. You need some special, some real expert to do the work. So that work is Bhagavan. To remove the sinful desires from our heart, it's very difficult. Very, very difficult. But it's possible by the mercy of Bhagavan. And that mercy of Bhagavan comes via the sadhus, gurus. They give the knowledge. It's not just knowledge, but it's realization together. Pratyakshavagamang dharmyam, this Raja Vidya. It's something not just to know and learn and pass a bhakti shastra degree, but it's to be realized within the heart. And then when one gets that susukam, that pleasure from Krishna consciousness, then parang drishtva nivartate, then the higher taste conquers the lower taste. This is Bhagavan's mercy, that he digs deep down into our hearts, uproots all the rascaldom, and by appearing in our hearts, that gives so much pleasure to the devotees, that their sinful desires are completely vanquished. So he comes to this world to show himself. He comes to this world swayamjat, by his own desire, swayamjata. Comes to this world, and having come to this world, he gets to work in purifying it by his very presence. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives the same meaning as Parashara Bhatta, but he also gives the meaning that he destroys all the daityas, danavas, and wicked kshatriyas. So that's another meaning. He uproots them. I was giving this example that it's a very difficult weed because it's here, there, everywhere, so many directions. So Krishna, he came to this world to particularly he was prayed for to destroy Rajanyavangsha Dahana, to burn up the dynasties of sinful kings. But there were so many of them that just like the first time Jarasandha came and attacked Mathura, Krishna destroyed all his huge army. But then he let Jarasandha go because he thought Jarasandha will again collect more wicked kings. And he did 17 times. And again he had more. Because when when they were going, Uddhava gave the advice that better Bhima fights. Because if you are to fight with him one-on-one, only Bhima can beat him. He won't want to fight with Krishna because he looks down on Krishna. And physically only Bhima can beat him. Shankaracharya gives the meaning of dig for kanana, not kanan, that's the Tamil name for Krishna, but kanan. Digging, and he gives the idea that this is, who said that? Varahadev? Varahadev. Dharanim visheshena kanitva patalavasinam hiranyaksham varaha rupam astaya jaghana iti purane prasiddham. So Shankara says, it is well known in the Puranas, it's stated in the Puranas, because it's not only in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana, about Varaha Deva, it's in Vishnu Purana, and of course Varaha Purana, that he, the Supreme Lord, in the form of a boar, dug up the earth, picked up the earth, and killed Hiranyaksha, an asura who lived in the Patal, the lower worlds. So this could be an opportunity to speak at length about Varahadev. But I think I actually collected a lot of material on Varahadev, but I think I'll keep that for Varaha's appearance another time. A recent commentator, late 20th century commentator, Satyadeva Vashishta, so commentaries on Vishnu Sahasranama, they're not all in the deep past. So he takes the meaning of kana to mean disturbance, and he takes the prefix upasarga vi. Can also mean, it can be an intensifier, but it can also mean negation. So he takes it to mean without disturbance. So vikana means without disturbance, means those who are liberated, and vaikana means the Lord of the liberated. So there we get the understanding. We have this Vaikarnasa sect within Sri Vaishnavism. So there we have the meaning of Vaikarnasa, the Lord of the liberated souls. Another commentator, Raghunath Tirtha, takes again digging or completely uprooting, and takes the meaning that the enemies of Krishna are completely destroyed, completely wiped out. The only problem is that there's not only one. There are more, there are always more and more and more. There are so many demons in this world. That's the very nature of this world. Dvo bhuto sargo lek, dvo bhuto sarge lokesmin daiva asura evacha. There will always be godly persons in the world and demoniac people. So when there's an excess of demons, Krishna, or if there's any big demon like Hiranyaksha, Krishna comes and kills, but there will be more. There will always be demoniac people in this world, because that is the very nature of this world. Another meaning given by Satyadeva Vashishta is that taking kanna again to mean digging, so he has made the space in which the oceans exist. Now if we look at modern geology, they will say the oceans came into existence. For instance, the South Pacific Ocean, they say that previously Africa and South America were one landmass, and if you look at it geographically, it looks quite possible. Then they separated and the ocean came in. So Satyadeva Vasishtha gives the idea that even if such things happened, but it's all going on under Bhagavan's direction. So he dug out, he made the space which is possible for providing the place for the oceans. He made the hills, which means he also made the valleys. Another meaning of kani, chanascha, kanam, indriya prana vishishta kana yeshang te vikana mukta tesham ayang swami vaikanaha. There's another meaning. The liberated souls, they have indriyas, they have senses as we have, but their sensual capacity and capability is far more than us. Here as humans in this world in Kali Yuga, our power of seeing, touching, smelling, tasting, feeling, understanding is very limited. But the muktas, they have extraordinary sensory abilities. And therefore, by Sanskrit derivation, they're called Vikana, and their master is called Vaikana. And taking from the writings of Madhvacharya, he says that Agyanam Gyanado Vishnu, for the ignorant, he is the one who gives knowledge. Gyaninam Mokshadascha Saha, and for those who have knowledge, he is the giver of moksha. Anandadascha muktanam sa evam eko janadana. And for those who have moksha, he is the giver of bliss. Hence, Vishnu is Vaikana, because he gives bliss to the liberated souls. And then again, another meaning can be taken, that the liberated souls, they're called Vikana, which means, again, if we take vi to mean a negation, so they don't dig, they don't make their downfall. And therefore, Vaikanaha is the Lord. Again, it's another way of saying he's the Lord of the liberated souls. Name 988 is Samagayanaha. So this you can understand. Sama means Samaveda, and Gayana means who sings. Or it can also mean who is sung about. So it's either he who sings this Samaveda or who is sung about in the Samaveda. Parashabhata gives the meaning that those who are liberated, they chant the Vedic hymns in his presence, and he gives from the Taittiriya Upanishad, etad sama gayanaste, that what do you do after mukti? There's an idea you just become one with everything and just you don't do anything. But that's not the complete understanding. That's not full mukti. Full mukti is in service to the Supreme Lord. So what do you do? Well, in Vaikuntha, according to Taittiriya Upanishad, the liberated souls, they chant, they praise him by singing the Samaveda. And that goes on in this world also. In the temples, the Lord is praised by that. Baladev Vidyabhushan, our Gaudiya commentator, gives a similar meaning, that he is the Ayana, you know this word, Ramayana, Ramayana, or Parayana, we just had Vasudeva Parayana. So it can mean, this word Ayana can have different meanings, but it means like the resort, the place that we go to for shelter, or the object. So he is the object of the singers of the Samaveda. He is with in the spiritual world, he is right there when they are chanting to him. So they become very happy chanting his glories, and he becomes very happy listening to that. Samaveda is different from other of the other three Vedas in that even though most of the Samaveda, the mantras, they're the same as in the Rig Veda, but they're also specifically set to music. There's a particular way in which they're to be chanted, and the Samaveda is the origin of all Bharatiya Sangeet Shastra. So Samaveda is more pleasing because it's musical. So the Supreme Lord likes that. In some religions they say no music because music can drag us completely into Maya. But music for Krishna is very pleasing to him, especially in this Kali Yuga. It's the specific way to worship him is by Sankirtan Yajna. So particularly it's stated, Suta Goswami states, famous verse in Bhagavatam, fairly famous, that he is praised by the prayers of the Samaveda. Yang Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marata Stunvanti Divyai Stavaihi. All the great demigods, they praise him with divine prayers, particularly Vedai Sangha Padakramopanishadar Gayantiyam Samagaha. So we have Samagayana, and here in the Bhagavatam, Samaga. So how do they praise him? With the hymns of the Vedas, particularly the Samaveda, with all their different grammatical, syntactical parts, the Upanishads, so that is sung. He is the one who is sung about by the liberated souls. In Bhagavatam we have, then dhyanavastita tadgatena manasa pashanti yam yogino. The yogis situated in meditation, they see him within their minds, and yes, yantam navidu surasura gana devaya tasmai namaha. Unto that Lord who cannot be understood, the limit of whose glories cannot be understood, either by the godly or the ungodly, we offer our respects to him. So particularly it's mentioned here that he is praised by the Samaveda. And Krishna, of course, gives among the four Vedas, Krishna says, Vedanam Samavedo Asmi. Samavedosmi. Among the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. Then again, same as Baladev Vidyabhushan, other commentators, they give the idea that singing the Samaveda, the ultimate goal, the ultimate point of that is Vishnu in Vishnu Sahasranama. And there are other commentators who give further development of that to say that particularly those who sing praise of him, they praise him for killing the demons who ruin the yajnas. Another meaning, this is given by Shankaracharya, the literal meaning of Samagayana would mean someone who sings the Sama Veda. So he, all the Vedas come from him. He's the, even though the Vedas are meant for praising him, but he's the original source of the Vedas also. So he also chants the very prayers which are meant for praise for him, he also chants them. Can you imagine if someone is praising someone else, ah, you are so great. And then he says, I am so great. We think this person is very egoistic, but he does it. He does it in Bhagavad Gita. Matah parataram nanyat kinchid asti dananja. I am the greatest. There's no one greater than me. If anyone was to say that, we'd think they're very egoistic. But not in the case of Krishna, because he's just stating the fact. That's all. And even if someone is the greatest, just like someone is the the fastest in the 100-meter sprint, someone somewhere in the world has got the world record for the 100-meter sprint. I don't know who it is, you don't know who it is, we are not any the worst for not knowing. But whoever it is can say, I am the greatest in the 100-meter sprint. One thing they should know is that ability is given to them by Krishna. Another thing they should know is that someone else is going to come along and break the record at some other point. Another thing they should know is that there are thousands of other things that other people do better than them. And another thing they should know is that what's the use of being the world record holder in the 100-meter sprint anyway? Better you chant Hare Krishna. Another thing they should think of is that if I'm interested in being the fastest runner in the world, then better not be a human anyway. Take the body of a cheetah, the big cat. They're supposed to be the fastest land animal. So if in your next life you can become very fast running, what is the use? But Krishna sings his own glories. He himself sings it. One commentator, Radha Krishna Shastri, says that the Brahmagyanis, those who are not interested in bhakti, they also sing the Samaveda. And they get some pleasure in their realization of impersonal Brahman. But Krishna, he's Samagayana, he sings the Samaveda, but he's more interested in singing the song of his flute, which is the source of all the Vedas, because from Krishna's flute sound, this is more than Radha Krishna Shastri said, I'm elaborating more. From Krishna's flute comes Gayatri, and Gayatri is the mother of the Vedas. So by playing his flute, Krishna manifests all the Vedas and surpasses all the Vedas. Hare Krishna. That's all I'm going to say now about this, unless anyone has any question or comment that they would like to make. And if you'd like to make it, please make it in this mic.
Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, is there any linkage between the previous words and this one, Vaikhana one? Because the previous two talk about the appearance of the Lord or Janma. Yeah. and this one talks about digging. So I was like,
well, that's there. I said that Parashara Bhatta had said that after taking birth, what does he do next? He makes the linkage. He comes to this world to uproot our material desires. There is a flow. Parashara Bhatta, he takes all the names in groups. So there's a whole section about Kalki Avatar, for instance. And within the groups of names, he shows the connection.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, another question.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, very wonderful class. Maharaj, I have two questions. Can I ask one at a time? First one is, you mentioned about personal realization. Actually, what is exactly a realization for a devotee? Like, is
realization for a devotee means to completely internalize the understanding that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am His eternal servant. And then there may be other so many sub-realizations about what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. For instance, that this material world is full of misery. Realization means the gopis, they're not thinking about Bhagavad Gita. They simply want to serve Krishna. It's completely internalized.
Can I ask?
It's not just theoretical. Then?
It is said that Lord's confidential mission in this material world is take the souls to spiritual world. Why it is like mentioned like confidential? Like this.
Why is it
mission?
Confidential that his mission in this world is to take the conditioned souls to the spiritual world? Because most people don't understand it.
Is it kept secret to all the people? Or?
Well, it's like in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam. It's the most secret. It's the most secret of all secrets. But there are the millions of Bhagavad Gita copies distributed everywhere. So how is it the most secret? Because not everyone understands it. There's a saying in English, hidden in full sight. It's there for everyone to see, but not everyone can see it. Sometimes you may have seen there's some picture and you can't work out what it is. It's like a trick picture. And then someone points out, you see, it's this, 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 and then you can see. It has to be told to you, then you can see. Otherwise, it's a question of pashanapi na pashyati. You see, but you don't see. It's there for everyone to see, but not everyone sees it. And someone else had a question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Danda Pranams. Thank you very much for the wonderful class.
Yeah, that's a formality. Everyone says, thank you very much for a wonderful class.
Maharaj,
I think we should stop saying this because it's just like a formality everyone says and no one really means it. So.
Maharaj, I have two questions. One is, so in the north, Krishna is called as Kanha, and also...
Sorry, I couldn't hear. What did you say?
In the northern part of India, Krishna is called as Kanha, and as well as Kanaya.
Yeah, in Tamil Nadu, Kanha, North India,
and yeah, in northern India,
Kanha,
as well as Kanaya.
Yeah.
So, the both the names are related, and then...
Seems to be. I don't know exactly.
Okay.
It comes from Krishna Leela, where in Vrindavan the Yashoda Mai, others may call him Kanha, Balai for Balaram, like that. It's right out of Krishna Leela. It's Prakrita Bhasha. We have Sanskrita, which is fully perfect Bhasha, and Prakrita, which is not. but in so it's very common way of speaking. Not sophisticated. That's the joy of Krishna Leela. It's not in Vrindavan Leela, not very sophisticated.
Maharaj, another question is, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, amongst the hymns, I am the Omkar. So,
among the what?
The hymns?
I'm the Omkar. Oh, yeah.
So, this Omkara is coming from which Vedas?
Well, there's what is that? Pranava Sarva Vedasmi.
Ah, so, from...
Among, in all the Vedas, I'm Pranav.
Yeah. So, this Pranava Omkara is coming from the Samaveda, or it's...
The Omkara is also the origin of all the Vedas. And Omkara is the absolute truth. And Omkara is everything. And Omkara is Krishna. But generally it's taken as the... generally understood as the impersonal, non-specific representation of the absolute truth. It's a big topic. There are many theories about Omkar, but it's the sound representation of the absolute truth.
Thank you, Maharaj.
It's a very, very big topic. What is the nature of Omkar?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So, why Krishna has chosen India to do his pastimes?
Why does Krishna choose India to do his pastimes? In the Brahma Sanghita, it's stated that there are different planets with Vibhuti Bindam. They have different characteristics. Just like in Siddhaloka, everyone on Siddhaloka, if you're born there by your karma, means you have Siddhi automatically. You can read people's minds, you can fly in the sky. If you're in Indraloka, you have tremendous material enjoyment due to your past karma. If you're born in the hell, different kinds of hell, then according to your karmas, you get certain kind of punishments. So on this earth planet, it's like a crossroads. Human life, what we do in this life, we can go up or down according to our karmas. And people are born in different places according to their different desires and karmas. So we have group karma also. If you're born in America, then you're more likely to be inclined to Christianity and certain culture. People are placed there, they take birth as humans in America due to their previous karmas and their desires. And they're all put together to interact with each other. So the land of Bharata is the land where many people with spiritual development, pious development, they're put together in that place for making further advancement. And the Lord comes there particularly because that is the place where people can take advantage of His coming. He speaks Bhagavad Gita in a culture where it can be appreciated. That's why.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my respectful obeisance. Maharaj, I have a question. So, we were speaking about the impurities that we have. So, how do we uproot the impurities and offenselessly chant the holy names?
How do we remove the impurities from the heart? Well, we got the idea from this name. We can't. We have to ask Krishna to help us. We have to do our work also. Chaito Darpana Marjanam. We have to chant the holy name. But we can't think that I'll chant 64 rounds every day and automatically my heart will become pure. We chant and we pray for Krishna's mercy. Similarly, Srinvatang Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridyantistohya Bhadrani, Vidhunoti Suhrit Satam. Those who hear about Krishna, Krishna cleanses the heart. So if we do our work very sincerely, Krishna will help us, but ultimately we're dependent on His mercy. We should try, we should apply ourselves seriously to the process of Shravanam Kirtanam and pray for Krishna's mercy. Shravanam Kirtanam will purify the heart, but ultimately we have to have Krishna's mercy.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah, please ask.
Maharaj, there are many stotras claims that especially at the end of to glorify the stotra, they claim it, that stotra, by singing that stotra can remove your sins, not for one janma but for 7 or 10 janmas. So, and that stotra is written by like Adi Shankaracharya also and many rishis. So how that stotras are authentic? Like,
say how for will it work if Shankara says means he's taking mercy from the Lord? He can do so. He can say such a thing. We have also Sri Gauravashtak. Sri Gauravashtak etad uchai brahma mahurte patati prayatnat sa eva vrindavana nata sakshat sa vaiva labhya. Anyone, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you'll see at the end of all these stutis. If you chant this, you'll get this result. You chant Sri Gauravashtaka in Brahma Mahurta, you'll get in the, after leaving this body, you'll get direct service to Vrindavananath in Vrindavan. So they can do, because they're linked with Krishna, they can say.
For other demigods also, like for Shiva, Dwadasha Jyotirlinga, at the end.
So, yeah.
Sapta Janma Kritam Papam Smarayana Navisha.
Yeah, so why not? You say they claim, but I just accept. I don't doubt it. Because there has to be a proper attitude in chanting. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In your class you have said that everyone incurring the sin. No one can escape from the sin. Example, stepping on the ant while walking. So there is no adornment in the Shastra to overcome from this sin. There is only one way to do pure devotional service to the Lord, to overcome from this sin. Can you little elaborate what are the activities
again,
called
understand pure devotional service? Could you understand? Yeah, we're doing sins all the time. When we walk on ants, then? That's the only way to be completely free from sins is to be pure devotional service, yes? Elaborate means that any other activity, the desire, one thing is the desire for sins won't stop. That's already explained. The source of all sins is Krishna Bhuli Seji Vanadir Bahimukh, turning away from Krishna. Krishna Bahimukh Hoya Bhoga Vanchakari. That is the original sin. In Christianity they talk about original sin, turning away from God. So if we're situated in pure devotional service, even accidental things are overlooked or forgiven. Not that we should deliberately commit sins. But because we're properly situated, that doesn't have the effect. In fact, if a pure devotee steps on an ant, the jiva in the body of an ant is greatly benefited. But again the devotee doesn't deliberately try to kill ants. We know the example of Mrigari the hunter, who tried to avoid giving pain to any living being. How does it work? It's Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy is non-quantifiable. Don't try to understand it scientifically. So, Hare Krishna, thank you very much for coming and patiently listening. Hare Krishna. If you clap, Hare Krishna. If you clap, I think I did something wrong. I didn't come for getting applause. It's not meant to be entertainment.